Well, I think you're spot on because, you know, my son played football. He was a three athlete at Frankfurt. And by the time that he got through as a senior, he was exhausted because in the summertime, you're required to do all three sports at the same time. And so the football coach is trying to fatten you up, and the basketball coach is running it off of you, and then you got baseball in the evening. And by the time you get out of school, man, my son had the opportunity to go play for Butler. You know, Butler at that time wasn't very good, but he had to, and he said, "Now I'm tired. I'm tired," which is unfortunate. But I think that you're spot on. The other thing that I wanted to discuss a little bit is, you know, when you went to a football game and Coach Gilbert was there coaching at a varsity ball game, you were guaranteed to see him in a white shirt and a green tie if it was Central, or a blue tie if you were Tri-Central, or probably a red tie if you were Taylor. Talk about that. Is it just what you developed to do, or what is that? Why dress the way you did? Because I'm going to tell you, in the wintertime, I'm looking across the way going, "Man, he's nuts."
I got cold if he does too.
He's colder than heck, and he's in a short sleeve shirt.
Well, when I started out football, men wore ties on Friday nights. Men dressed professionally. So when I started football, the head coach would dress right. Did you ever see Bear Bryant not wear a tie?
No.
No. Bear Bryant is one of the icons of all of football. Even youngsters should be aware, if they're engaged in football, of that name. But the two guys that were very important in my life, one was a guy by the name of Bill Seiderwitz. He finished his career at Martinsville. He came to Rensselaer. We had a Hall of Fame coaching staff at Rensselaer. Bill Seiderwitz, who's a member of the Hall of Fame, he was the head coach. A guy by the name of Chris Giesman, who later went on to Penn and became iconic in football. He still has a record for most consecutive regular season games. It's stupid. It's like 100 consecutive games during the season at Penn High School. And he won championships and just phenomenal. And the third was Dale Hummer, who ended up at DeKalb. All three of these men were Hall of Fame coaches, and they were part of the staff. Well, Coach Seiderwitz, I just loved him. As a young boy, I go out and watch my brothers practice with him, and then I got as a freshman, he moved me to varsity, which is Rensselaer was really never happened. You know, they always dressed the first three, because there's so many kids. And at the time, Rensselaer was a big school. We were more like a 3-4A school back in those days. So Seiderwitz would dress. He dressed two of us. He dressed a quarterback and he dressed me on Friday night. So we felt really important. But Seiderwitz always wore a white half-cut shirt and a tie. And I applauded that. I really looked like he stood out. Everybody knew who was in charge. He was the general out there. Then I had an opportunity to listen several times when I was in Ohio to who became defamed, but not in my eyes, as Woody Hayes. Woody Hayes was first a historian. He stated that the first thing that you need to do is take care of your classroom. If you can't take care of a classroom, you can't take care of a football field. You either teach young men and women in the classroom and motivate them, or don't even try to take that to the field. And I believe that. I believe the classroom is vital. Being able to teach in the classroom takes the guy to another level out on the football field. So Woody always wore a half shirt, red tie, or black tie. Depends what mood he was in. But Woody was a phenomenal guy. And he also said another thing. He said, "There's a lot of guys that are smarter than me when it comes to X's and O's." I think just about every head coach in Indiana is smarter than me. With the YouTube now, because I never looked into that stuff. You said 39 years. It's actually, I had 2 years in junior high. 41 years I coached only the Veer offense. I changed defenses a couple times. I went from the 50 shade of Woody and Ohio State and Earl Bruce and those guys onto the 3-4, which was a smart move. But Woody Hayes said, "You may be smarter than me, but you'll never outwork me." So I took that mentality. When we prepared for the state championship game, I worked nonstop pretty much with a couple hours sleep till Wednesday. And I did this all during the tournament series. During regular season, I'd work through Tuesday on film, and I wouldn't get much sleep. State championship, I worked through Wednesday, and then I was done. Wednesday night, I didn't look at anything football. Thursday, we had Thanksgiving. We practiced that night on our field, and then obviously we had the game on Friday. But I always felt that my coaches always kind of made fun of me because I would break plays down by watching the film back and forth, and I would write them out. Well, I knew everything had happened. I knew everything about that team because I had to put each individual kid in that slot. You go through 250 plays, and I always go through two games of plays. You go through 250 plays, doing a play every two or three minutes, that takes a lot of time. But you get a good eye feeling of them. I don't think younger coaches do that. I think everybody's relying now on huddle cutting their film for them. Why would I want some indiscreet technology doing something that I've been professionally prepared to do that I can take out there and recognize immediately where when you don't do all that work, you got to rely on their numbers, you know? So Woody Hayes and Bill Seiderwitz kind of set me in the direction. You know, every year of my professional career, and you'll see it if you are you doing Friday night's game? Mm-hmm. I don't care.
Yep, we'll be out there.
Yeah, you'll see it Friday night for one last time.
Good. We'll be looking forward to that.
Yeah.
And it'll be cold. So.
And I watched you guys' show with the coach from Prairie. It's really sweet of him. I knew his brother and him for the state championships. And his brother went back twice. I think he won one. Good people. I used to umpire some of their games. He might recall the umpire in some of their games over at Crawfordsville, softball games during the summer.
Well, Coach, I was a high school official, and my very first varsity ball game was with you at Carroll. And Carroll came up to me, and when they asked me to do the ball game with you, they said, you'll be doing it with Coach Gilbert. Well, good. I said, it was my first varsity game. If you don't mind, I'm going to take the bases. I'd rather have Coach with experience behind the plate. Yeah, we'll make that work. So I get to the ball game, and the assistant coach comes running to me and going, you're behind the plate because we're not going to let that George Gilbert behind the plate.
Yeah, I think I threw him out of a game a couple of weeks before that. He didn't like one of my calls, and I didn't like him. So we took care of that real quick.
Yeah. I know this is not something that you probably want to talk about or to say, but I think for a lot of us, we like to know maybe who's – which team was your very best football team? And I know you don't like to single things out. And who maybe was maybe a really good, well, let's put it this way. Let's go back and say a kid that came out, when he first came out, you'd go, I don't know if this kid will ever make it. But when he got finished, he was beyond years of what he was when he started.
We probably got 100 of those that started in junior high. And you look at him and you think, wow, that kid's sure a chub. Or that kid's super skinny, and then their bodies start to change. They get devoted. It all depends on them. If they get serious in the weight room, their body changes the right way, neat things will happen. The guy I would think people would recognize locally, and I don't think I would embarrass him by saying, would be Thomas Pelling. Would be one of the true, unbelievable stories of Clinton Central football. In junior high, he couldn't run very fast. He wasn't real athletic. And I told him he had to get serious in the weight room. He did. Oh, my goodness. He became the strongest guy in all of Central history. And that's something because our numbers, we would go to tournaments, weightlifting tournaments with Jeff and McCutcheon and Harrison and just kick their butts. We won tournaments every summer to the point that we stopped getting invited because we were going to win. Eastern came over, wanted to have a matchup with us. When Josh took over the program, I said, so it's just between us? Yeah, that's just between us. Well, we won every single category. Everything is like they didn't even show up. And, you know, he took that pretty rough because he thought his kids were strong. But Thomas was a phenomenal story. Another is Jason Lane. Jason Lane was an African-American boy that came into our school district. As a freshman, he comes up to me and he says, Coach, how am I going to get on the field? And I said, well, you got to get in the weight room, Jason. He's best friends with my son. And he said, that's all I got to do. I said, well, you got to lift. But you got to get in the room. Well, he became a Division I athlete, played at Indiana State, became one of the most productive large school coaches in the state of Florida. He coached around Tampa. He coached at an inner city school, had nothing but problems. The first thing he did when he got the head coaching job down there in Tampa was send me a note saying, would you send me the Veer playbook? Which I did. And every year, Alabama, Mississippi, all these big schools, the Southeast, the Southwest, would visit him and want look at his kids. And there's a lot of these kids. Best teams, I really don't know. I think it'd be very difficult for me, and people have asked me that. The national media has asked me that when I was selected runner-up for the NFL award. What's the best team you ever coached? Was it the state championship? Those state championship, the state championship kids were awesome kids, but we had a lot of awesome teams at Central. You know, you could look at 89, you could look at 90, you could look at 97. First sectional championship team was outstanding. 2000, 2001, 2002, where we went back-to-back sectionals. 2000, my last year before I got fired from Central, we had a phenomenal year. Beat Catholic, who was ranked number two or three in the state, undefeated, come to our house. You know, I have a winning record against them, too. I'm probably one of the few coaches that
not
did.
Not too many people can say that.
No, but I remember they came to our house, and it was 28-27. And they decided to go for two instead of letting their all-state kicker tie it up. And we stopped and won the game. So, yeah, we've had so many good teams at Central, and we've had so many good teams at Tri-Central. There's 5 years. We went 50-5 over at Tri-Central in a five-year period, which is just phenomenal. So, yeah, I can't answer that one, Don. I can answer the first one, but not the second one.
Well, I figured that. I was surprised you answered either question, because it does put you kind of in a spot in that situation. Hey, we're speaking with Coach George Gilbert, the former high school head football coach at Clinton Central. Coach, I want to take you off the football field a little bit. Let's move into the classroom.
Oh, because, that's great.
Because I know that my partner, Carl, would say he was such a dynamic teacher that he was in your class, you taught him, and he said he learned more about life in that class that actually helped him when he left school and went on to college.
You know, Carl is, I mean, he really knocked me flat when I was listening to him talk. I never figured it out. I've gotten a plethora of letters from former students, believe it or not, probably more students than football players, from people who live in the community and people living outside the community. Which is really neat. But Carl was so smart. He really was. He was brilliant in school.
Don't give him too much.
Well, yeah, I'm telling you, academically, he was outstanding in high school. And I would be amiss if I didn't recognize that. So he pushed me. He pushed me hard. And if I said something that he didn't agree with, he would test me on that. So what did I do? I'd have to go home at night and look stuff up. We didn't have the internet back then, so I could make sure that I was right when I go back there and talk to Carl. But Carl, yeah, the classroom has always been special to me. You know, for 13 years, I think it's 13 years, Andy Robertson and the late Grace Schofield and I ran something we called a thematic unit. And I don't know if people remember that, but we would work all year round in preparation for a one-day event where we would have kids live history. Incredible amount of work, a lot of expense. We work all summer on this, and it was fun. Andy Robertson is so smart, and he offered the PR part of it. He was good with people. Grace Schofield was great at finance and behind-the-scenes stuff, and I did really well just directing and organizing. So we all fed into our skills. A thematic unit means you're taking more than one discipline and you're going to consolidate it to form a different type of learning experience for the students. And we did this for about 13 years. And we did everything from depression to World War II to Vietnam. The last one we did, we wanted to do it on rock and roll. And we brought in, we set up things with bands out of the East Coast, lookalike bands. Well, we had $5,000 in our account. It was going to cost us $55,000 to bring this in and do a professional, top-grade, regular concert. So at the time, you know, we didn't have $55,000. No. I didn't tell the board how much money we needed. I just said I'd like to do this. But anyway, I locked in with, obviously, Shan Sheridan.
I remember this.
Yeah. And Shan and I have had many adventures, from Thursday Thunder, organizing that, to different programs. Shan Sheridan, you know, we give a Citizen of the Year. If they ever give a citizen of numerous decades, it would be Shan Sheridan. He's done so much for this community. And usually when it gets to go time, he drops behind the scene and gives everybody else the spotlight. So, Shan, yep. Too bad, buddy. I'm telling everybody today exactly what I think. He was on my coaching staff when I first came to Central. He came in from Louisiana, wanted to coach some football. And him and I have been friends for over 30 years. And he came in. We got to the final day, and we're still out some money. And we had a local businessman ride out on a golf cart and see me and said, "Here, you're a little short of money. How much you need?" And I said, "I need about $3,000. And he goes, "Here." And he wrote me a check. And then we ended up making $5,000. So we had $55 invested. We made $61. So then we gave the $5 back to Shan I think at the time they were working on the other side of town, trying to get that old railroad.
Yep, the roundhouse.
The roundhouse going. But Shan is, I can't say enough about him. He's been a star at Clinton County, and he helped us. But we had people all along the way. Right. We went to Michigan to get the top medicine man of the Miami tribe. We brought him back and took him back home. Northern Michigan. It was like an 8-hour drive, you know. We went and got him, brought him here, took him home. These are the things that we did to enhance the learning of our kids.
Yeah.
And then it was always based on expectations. People say I was mean. They can say that. I'd rather be called mean and they learn something than be their buddy and learn nothing. And I feel like kids left my classroom. Always told them that if you fail my classroom, then you've really earned it, and I'll applaud you. Yeah. And I had very few failures over the years at Central. Kids had great work ethics.
Well, I know that whenever I speak with anybody at Clinton Central as a former student, the first thing they'll tell you is that George Gilbert was a great teacher. And, you know, I'm kind of involved a little bit with the Hot Dog Hall of Fame, and there's one thing that I've learned when students come back and talk about their teachers was the importance things that they learned from them. I had Chad Button this year say, "You know what, if it wouldn't have been for Coach Gilbert or Coach Colby," he said, "when I go into a room, I don't fear of getting losing the job or not getting what I want. I know I'm going to get it." And that comes from great teachers and solid head coaches.
Well, that's nice. I remember Chad. He was a good man.
Yeah.
And we've had, we are really blessed in Clinton County. People said, "Well, you know, you had all these bad things happen in Central. Why didn't you just walk away? You had opportunity." And I did. Early on, I had a couple really nice job offers, and I chose to stay because I really felt comfortable in Clinton County. And I really loved, my first three principals were incredible men. I had Mr. Watson, I had Ralph Walker, and I had Ron Dunn. These three men were outstanding. Well, we kind of went through a lean time with leadership out of Central. And that's everybody knows that. And, you know, people can say, "Well, Coach, you don't need to bring that up." Well, yeah, I do. I mean, let's say like it is. Right now we got a guy, Brad Smith, who is just like those guys were before. And he's brought class back to our school. Our numbers are up. He's hiring good people. Our educational value has rose. We're back on track like we were. You know, should Clinton Central be the top school in the county? Should Rossville or Frankfort? No, they all should be top schools in the county. We should all be proud of every one of our schools and have accolades toward them. But when we go through rough times, it's like a family. You know, we got to live through it. Schools are dysfunctional. Families are dysfunctional. Any family that says they've never been dysfunctional are fools or liars. You know, it's just part of it. And we grow from those situations. And I think out of Central, we're going in the right direction. That's why I stayed there. You know, I could have went over Tri-Central. They were trying to create a job for me. You know, all I had to do was give them the say. But I didn't want to leave Clinton Central. And I was hoping that eventually we could work something out. We had Al Romaley come in, who was, oh, my gosh, what a wonderful man he was.
Yeah.
Principal, superintendent, just a good person. He started courting me, and I started, you know, willing to be courted. And next thing you know, I get to finish my career at the school that I love. And people say, well, which school do you love more? And they're both rival schools, you know. And I would have to say that my heart's always been with Clinton Central, you know. Tri-Central, I won some neat awards, and we did some neat things. But I'd be a fool to base everything off of just one school. Those people were very kind to me. They brought in a guy that was very problematic, that has a short temper at times, will not talk to parents after games, which they found out the first year, runs the program the way he sees fit, doesn't ask for their involvement, and says, we won't listen when you do. And that's why I ran at Central. And people have left me alone. They think I'm hard-headed. And, you know, like we said before with Show Ever Started, there's going to be those that like you and those that dislike you when you're a leader. If everybody likes you and you're a leader, what kind of leader are you? Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah. You got to be able to put a fire under people's tail. And I think we've tried.
Well, Coach, it's Friday at the Carroll Central football game. They're going to toss you up a little bit, give you some kudos, and have a big hog roast before where a lot of the alumni will be coming back. And, you know, I know before you said, I hope some will come back. Now, I think the place will be filled. I think that you mean a lot to these athletes that have come through because you've taken a school that wasn't a winning school other than basketball and put them on the map. And I think you got to take credit for that. And I think it'll be a fun evening for you.
I hope it is. I hope I feel well enough. Obviously, I got to tell the troops when I get there I can't eat, which I would love to eat pork barbecue. But with my condition, now, if I do, then I'll have to go home. So I'd rather not eat. Maybe I'll take some home. Maybe they'll give me a pack that I can take home.
Sure.
But I really am looking forward to seeing my athletes. You know, we have a local businessman that contacted me yesterday, Blake Pullen. I don't know if you guys know who Blake is, but he's local barber. Well, you know who Blake is.
I know Blake, yes.
And he said, Coach, got to get you in and get you a haircut so you're all ready for Friday. And, you know, that's kind of the way our people are. Blake is such an incredible guy. He was a great football player. His little brother was a great football player. And that's kind of the attitude. I've had three or four guys say they're going to be there. They're looking forward to it. Whoever shows up will be very ecstatic to see and very humbled. And my wife and I are very humbled. Actually, it's kind of makes you feel a little weird, but it makes you feel weird in a good way. You know, like all those years of services is paying off as you're getting close.
One last thing I do want to ask you. Who was the mentor? Who was the individual that kicked you into the way, that turned you into the way you wanted to be as a coach or as a person in the classroom and on the football field?
Well, you know, I think I was blessed, and I've done a lot of jobs. I grew up extremely poor in Rensselaer. We lived on the wrong side of the tracks. Did Frankfurt ever have a wrong side of the tracks?
Yeah. Well, they thought they did, but people would tell you, yeah.
Okay. Well, I lived on the wrong side, and people around Rensselaer would tell you. And I was kind of a hoodie-type kid growing up. We called them hoodlum-type kids. So I kind of grew up in a rough environment. What was a catalyst for me is nobody in my family ever went to college. Everybody went from working to driving a truck in Gary. That's what they all did. Yeah. We're truck drivers, and that's where I would have been destined to go. So I think a lot of it was inside me, wanting to show that I could do more. I blew my knee out my first year in football in college. I could have quit, but I would have lost my scholarships. So I ended up going to Manchester College, and, you know, I got All-American honors, and they helped me pay. Being an NAIA, they found grants that they could keep me in school, and it all paid off for me. So I think a lot of it was self-directed due to growing up in such a tough environment, and nobody in my family had ever went post-high school. High school was like a college degree in our family. You know, you get a high school diploma, you've done it all. And when I was able to get my bachelor's and my master's, it was kind of like, okay, what's that mean? But, yeah, I think a lot of it was self-motivated and wanted to prove myself instead of just accepting who I was. And I think that's a problem we have today. I think it'd be neat to see more young people want to prove themselves to go out and get that job done and work that extra time, do those little extra things so that you can, you know, mm-hmm. be accounted for.
Yeah. Don, do you have anything else?
I do not, Coach. It's a pleasure for me to be able to interview you. And, you know, I just want to say that you mean a lot to Clinton County. I think that you brought a lot to Clinton County, not only just as a football coach, as a teacher, but just the ability to make everything a lot better in the county for whatever it was that you did or whatever you tried. I mean, I remember the time I actually went out to the conf or the concert that you had out there. It was a great, great evening time, and all based on education during mm-hmm. the day. And I think that Friday is going to be a well-awarded job well done, son, and looking forward to broadcasting that ball game and getting you up probably at halftime so that you and Carl can do a little reminiscing.
I would love that. I do have one final statement I'd like to make.
Sure.
Wylo has been a very important part of Clinton County Athletics. Without you guys and the job you do, our kids wouldn't get the accolades or the opportunity for accolades that they receive. You know, I'm encouraged when all the coaches show up, no matter what sport it is, and give time to talk about their kids. But without guys like you, Ken, and like you, I tell you what, we would be stuck. Don, you have been a pillar in our community, from being mayor to all the extra things that you have done through the course of your life. And Wylo has been a part of everything that I have done since I've been here in Clinton County. You could always rely on Vern Casper and Vern Casper's show. And I know Vern very well. Vern and I had many conversations. He'd come into my classroom. Vern was such a neat guy. He was an interesting guy, a neat guy. And he loved educating kids about the Far East and sharing stories, and our kids would love to be a part of it. So thank you, Wylo. Thank you, Don. Thank you, Ken, for everything that you bring to our community, and I hope it continues for another 100 years.